You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 327 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. As you could probably hear behind me, I am still live at Phillips Arena. And in fact, there is a girls basketball game about to take place right after the Hawks game. You're hearing me correctly. What I believe to be a recreational league women's basketball game is about to take place on the court. But here we are fighting through it all to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. And that's what we'll be doing here today. Before we get to the game, which I just took in, obviously live, with a 113-97 loss to the Chicago Bulls, I do want to hit quickly on one topic, and that is the status of DeAndre Bembry. I asked about him actually before the game to Mike Budenholzer. You guys might remember that Bembry, along with Isaiah Taylor and Tyler Cavanaugh, went down to the G League this week. And with that as the backdrop, I asked Bud kind of what the status is of Bembry, because he did play on Thursday, somewhat surprisingly in my mind, because at last glance he was not supposed to be pretty healthy and not supposed to be that close to coming back and playing, but he was actually in action on Friday. So I asked Bud about that, and here's what he had to say about Bembry's status.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say he's obviously healthy enough to play in a NBA game or a G League game, and he's on a pretty disciplined minutes restriction and trying to play him in short bursts. And I think it's part of his process of getting healthy and also growing and developing as a player. So it's kind of twofold for him. And last night he played, and he'll do the same again tonight. And the reports back, I think it's a positive that he's just out there and working through it. And I don't think he's 100%, but this is part of the process to get back to 100%.
So it should be noted that Bembry did play, as I mentioned a second ago, on Friday, and Bud said the same. He actually ended up playing 13 minutes in the G League on Friday. Did not play particularly well necessarily, but one of those things where he was out there and got moving around, as Bud kind of noted, that's a very important development for Bembry, who has not been great when he's played this year, especially offensively. I think defensively he's still been pretty good, but offensively a lot of struggles, and we'll see how long he actually stays in Erie as a result of that. Quickly, before we move on to the actual game, Isaiah Taylor at 22-6 in the G League on Friday. Tyler Cavanaugh had 11 points, but actually shot 1-8 from three. And new two-way signing Andrew White had 14 points on 1-7 from three. With that said, Cavanaugh was actually asked about Cavanaugh before the game. He actually just basically indicated that the move to send him down was directly related to playing time. Basically said that he's going to be out of the rotation if he stays in Atlanta with the return of Mike Muscala. And as a result, they wanted to get him some more seasoning, some more development time. And that makes perfect sense to me. I just want to start off with that, since he was asked about that before the game. We'll get into the actual sort of main event of today's special edition Sunday podcast. The Hawks, as I mentioned before, fell by a final score of 113-97. Offensively, this was kind of a disastrous performance on the whole for the Hawks. And defensively, while not terrible by any means, it certainly was not a good defensive performance either for Atlanta. So starting from the top here, the Bulls started this game with a 14-3 run, and from that point forward, the Hawks never came back to take the lead. They actually never led in this game. The Hawks shot 1-8 from the floor to start the game, and while there was an 11-2 run by the Hawks in response to that later in the first quarter, they had an 8-point deficit at the end of the first. We're not shooting the ball well, and that definitely continued as the game went along. The Bulls closed the first half on a 16-4 run to go up by 17. At that point in time, it felt like it was certainly teetering on the edge of the game being over, but still plenty of time there, and the Hawks actually showed some life in the third quarter, getting the lead down to 11 points earlier in the third, and then again down to 10 later on in the third with a nice play by John Collins, cut the lead to 10. Still, that was not quite enough. The Hawks won the third quarter, but not by a big enough margin. And then to start the fourth quarter, the Bulls went on a 13-2 run at the start of the fourth, and that pushed the lead up to 25. And from that point forward, it was all garbage time from there. The Hawks, of course, did make a little bit of a run, as you can tell by the final score, losing by only 16 points. And a lot of that was basically the garbage time play of Josh Majette and Luke Babbitt and Mike Muscala. A couple other people actually made a lot of shots in that final stretch, but It should be noted, the Hawks were 5 of 40 from 3 at one point in this game, and they finished the game 11 of 47. So they made 6 out of their last 7 threes. That included 2 of 2 from Majette, 2 of 2 from Babbitt, and Muscala hit one down the stretch as well. So basically that entire flurry happened late in this game, and for the most part, you know, 5 of 40 speaks for itself. That's about 12.5% from 3, and you're not going to win. You're not going to win any games when you shoot the ball like that. You know, after the game, basically all the responses from Budenholzer down to Torian Prince and Dennis Schroeder, they all referenced, you know, basically just not making shots. And that's something that is oversimplified sometimes when the Hawks, you know, the Hawks or whatever NBA team you're talking about. Of course, you have to make shots to succeed, but when you're shooting that poorly from 3, it's kind of hard to overcome that in a general sense. Bud did say, though, on the record that he was not exactly impressed by the sort of intensity and the passion and the way that the Hawks played on both ends of the floor, energy-wise, physicality-wise. The Bulls just basically outplayed them. And that was the first thing he said, was, you know, credit to Chicago. And on this side, that certainly felt a little bit interesting because of the way the Hawks shot, but still, the Bulls did play well for the most part, and that they should be lauded for that. Still, the three-point shooting was definitely sort of what I led with in my quick little recap that I usually do at PeachTreeHoops.com, and that's one of those things where you just can't overcome it in a lot of ways. So with that said, the offense finished the game with a 94.6 offensive rating, which is not quite as disastrous as it might have sounded early on in this game. But honestly, before that late stretch run, that was it was going to be somewhere in the 80s, and that's about as bad as you'll ever see from an NBA team over a 48-minute game. And you know, a lot of that's 3-point shooting, but really there was not really much going on offensively in this game. Did have 27 assists, but it was a pretty fast-paced game, and not too much to write home about individually either, which we'll talk about here in a second. Defensively, the Bulls shot 50% from the floor, 44% from 3, and 91% from the free throw line. The Hawks did force 16 turnovers. This is a Bulls team that's been playing very well recently, and actually was pretty surprised in some ways, at least, that the Hawks were favored in this game. I will say, you know, Atlanta's been good at home. They had won 5-6 at home before this, but the Bulls have just been playing very, very well, and they certainly put the pedal to the metal in this one. As a result, you know, the Hawks take a 16-point loss, and they definitely have a home game again on Monday against the Jazz, so we'll see if they can regroup. But before we get into that, I do want to tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast. I know this is not a normal spot for the show. This Sunday show is going to be in place of our Monday show this week, but I wanted to sort of turn this around from the arena and kind of give you guys the fresh perspective on what transpired between the Hawks and the Bulls. But please subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, all those fun places. Tell your friends, whatever they use, we'll definitely be there. And if we're not, please let us know, and we'll definitely get there as fast as we possibly can, as well as the entire Locked On Podcast Network. We can really use your support. Subscribe, leave 5-star feedback, and do all that fun stuff for me. And I really, really appreciate it. With that said, we get into the player breakdown, as we always do here. We'll start with the bench on a night where all 8 bench players appeared in this game. We'll start with Babbitt and Majette, who both played 5 minutes down the stretch. Both made both of their 3-point shots, and Majette got to the line, made both of his free throws, 8 points and an assist for Majette. Babbitt had 6 points and a rebound. Both were plus 9. Not too much to take away from this. I know I sort of made a joke before this even occurred about Majette having a nice flourish to end the game, and of course he did that right on cue. You know, I will say the intensity of the Bulls was not exactly great down there, but if you're going to leave guys like Majette and Babbitt wide open for threes, they're going to make them. Majette's definitely a high level shooter when he's left open, and Babbitt's been a tremendous three-point shooter for a very, very, very long time, so not surprised to see that. And those guys came in fresh and were playing, definitely playing harder than most guys on the court and over the course of a blowout late in the game, so credit to them for getting the score to be looking a little bit more respectable, because when they entered the game, the Hawks were down 25. When they left at the final buzzer, the Hawks lost by 16 points. With that said, the guys who played in the actual portion of the competitive game here, Mike Muscala played the least, 11 minutes for Muscala, had 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, was a plus 1. That included that late stretch, though. He was minus before that late stretch. Got to the line for 4-4, 1-4 from 3, 1-5 from the floor. He was just okay here. I actually played some played some power forward in this game for the most part, and I thought he was okay for the most part. Elsewhere, Malcolm Delaney, 16 minutes is his least in a while, as the Hawks didn't really use him at all off the ball. It was basically just purely Dennis Schroeder's backup in this game. 5 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds for Malcolm. He did have one very nice stretch offensively for the most part. He was just kind of out there, though. Tyler Dorsey played 16 minutes as well. 5 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists for the rookie. His rebounding continues to be very, very good. That's something that a good friend of the program, Tyler Jones, referenced on Twitter that I definitely appreciated, was, you know, Dorsey's rebounding has been very, very encouraging. He's been, you know, arguably the best rebounding guard on the roster. It's either Bazemore or Dorsey with that honor, but the fact that he, at pretty, you know, not exactly ideal size for a shooting guard, can sort of get up and be competitive on the glass is a very good thing for his development moving forward. Marco Bellinelli played 26 minutes in this game, 3 of 10 from the floor, 0-5 from three. It's tough to play him at all when he's 0-5 from three, and that showed in the plus-minus. He was minus 20 in 26 minutes, so that speaks for itself in a lot of ways. But 6 points, three rebounds, and two assists. His defense is always unplayable, basically, so didn't really see much different from there on Bellinelli. Finally, the best player, I think, for the Hawks in this game, aside from maybe Dennis Schroeder, had some moments, and John Collins, who played reasonably well, was Dwayne Dedman, 11 points and 11 rebounds. Had a block shot. I didn't think he played overly well in this game, but was competitive. Obviously, the rebounding was important, and the Hawks did a good job on the glass in general. Actually, Chicago only had 4 offensive rebounds in the entire game, only rebounded 10% of their own misses. So that's probably, if you're looking for a bright spot, it was the defensive rebounding for Atlanta here, and that was led by Dedman with 9 defensive rebounds in 23 minutes. It's 5 of 10 from the floor and 1 of 4 from 3. Finally, on the bench, John Collins, 4 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. He had a lot of really, really good passes, very, very encouraging in that way with the ball in his hands for Collins. I wish the Hawks would run more through him offensively when he played. I was getting ready to do an absolute rant on this podcast because Collins basically didn't play much at all, only played 9 minutes in the first half, was plus 0, basically, you know, dead even as the Hawks were down by 15 points. That felt particularly interesting because he had, until he appeared late in the second quarter, only played 4 minutes, and I was getting very, very restless with that. He did play most of the second half in terms of the competitive portion, which sort of lessened the load on him playing not quite as much as I probably wanted him to. But in general, he didn't shoot the ball well. Actually took 2 threes in this game. But the 4.9 rebound, 4 assist stat line sort of undersells how well he played. I thought Collins was very good here for the most part. And we can move on to the starting five, of course. Kent Bazemore, 9 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist. Not a great game for Kent. 4 turnovers, was 2 of 9 from the floor. Didn't have much going on there. Dennis Schroeder led the team in scoring, as he is wont to do, with 18 points and 5 assists and 2 steals in 31 minutes. He was 7 of 17 from the floor and 2 of 5 from 3. I thought Dennis was pretty decent. You know, defensively, he had some issues, as he's sort of often does these days. I think his defense has been better lately, but this was a game that he will not be sending to the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame for his defensive effort. And offensively, just didn't have quite the juice that you normally see from him, but still 18 points on 17 shots. It's not great, but not awful either, and he was okay on that end of the floor. He was one of the few bright spots offensively, and that he wasn't actually bad, whereas most of the roster actually was. In this game, Miles Plumlee, 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks in 15 minutes. I think he played too much, and that's kind of something I'm going to be saying over and over again until it stops happening. But for me, there's only 4 guys who, 4 big men on the team that should be playing at this point. We should be seeing a lot of Dedman, a lot of Collins, a lot of Ilyasova, and some Muscala as the fourth big. Plumlee shouldn't be playing in that rotation. That sort of defies logic to me at this point that he's still starting. I think we've probably seen enough now from Dedman to know that he is fully healthy, and it's time to sort of turn things back over to him or Collins. I know a lot of Hawks fans are sort of yelling and screaming about Collins not starting. I'm not quite there about Collins. I would certainly be okay with it if he started, but for me, it's more about just getting either Collins or Dedman in the starting lineup and playing Collins more, or something I can definitely support. But it's not necessarily about starting Collins, it's just playing him more minutes and not playing Plumlee really at all, but definitely not as much as he has been playing on certain nights in the recent past. Torian Prince, stat line wise was not great. 7 points, 1 rebound, and 1 assist in 19 minutes. Didn't play a whole lot here, which was noteworthy. Did have 5 fouls, so that was probably part of it. Was a minus 20 along with Bellinelli as the single worst on the team. This is again about the 4th consecutive game which Prince did not play well. There were some moments here, and I should point out there were some moments on Wednesday as well from Torian where he actually, especially the second half, played a little bit better. But in general here, this has not been a great run for Prince after a very, very encouraging stretch before that. Offensively, he's really taking a step back in a big way offensively. I'm wondering if that's just sort of a middle of the season slump, or if that's something more to be concerned about. I'll have to do a little bit more film on that, but he's just been very passive in the recent past, and we'll see how much that occurs moving forward, as the Hawks still have 2 more games on this homestand before having a quick road trip on Friday in Charlotte, and then back again for another home game on Saturday. So still a 4-game week coming with 3 home games, so plenty of time to get healthy and get rested without having to travel at all for these guys. Finally, Ursula Ilyasova was 9 points and 3 rebounds in 23 minutes. He was the biggest culprit in terms of 3-point shooting. He was 0 of 7. If you come into a game and you're going to tell me that Ilyasova and Bellinelli combined to shoot 0 of 12 from 3, you're in big trouble. Not that those guys were the only culprits, because Malcolm Delaney was 0 of 3. Devin was 1 of 4. Muscala was 1 of 4. Collins was 0 of 2. Bazemore was 1 of 5. Prince was 1 of 4. So it wasn't just Ilyasova and Bellinelli, but those guys who are, especially Bellinelli, he just has to shoot well in order to be playable at all. But Ilyasova, just not his night, obviously, as a shooter. 4 of 12 from the floor, so he was 4 of 5 on twos, but nothing to write home about there, with 9 points, 3 rebounds in the loss. So in general, you know, not a great performance from the Hawks, obviously, here, and nobody was particularly pleased about it after the game, but wasn't, you know, apoplectic, though. I think he sort of realized it was one of those nights and didn't have a whole lot going there, but I'll be interested to see how the Hawks respond to this Monday against the Utah team that's really struggling on its own right. So, you know, I think the Hawks might even be favored again. I would sort of doubt it because Rudy Gobert is back for the Jazz, but something to just sort of monitor. I always want to pass that along. I think Las Vegas does a pretty good job normally in sort of handicapping this stuff. It's not always going to be right on the nose, obviously, as this game is a pretty good example of, but still, you know, the Hawks played not well in this game. That's something that has to be said out loud, and the Bulls did what they could to take the game away. They absolutely did that. So with the loss, the Hawks are now 13-32 on the season, and that's obviously nothing to be excited about necessarily. But if you look at 538, which is my go-to sort of projection vessel, the Hawks are now projected to finish with the second worst record in the league at 25-57. The Kings, though, have a two-game lead, quote-unquote lead, on the Hawks in the tanking race with a 23-59 projected record, and the Magic just above that. So the Bulls are now pretty much pulling away. Chicago now has 18 wins on the season, which is remarkable considering they started 3-20. So they're now 15-8 in their last 23 games, which is pretty crazy. And the Hawks are sort of a different tier now than the Bulls are, and we'll keep an eye on that moving forward. So no podcast on Monday. This will be the Monday show / Sunday show, obviously, and then we'll be back with a recap on Tuesday morning of this particular game as the Jazz are in town on Monday. So I'll be in the building for that. We'll talk about that on Tuesday morning. And until then, again, please subscribe. I would really appreciate you guys doing that for me. If you already subscribed, do it from another device. Try to help us grow the show a little bit. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys on Tuesday.